Well, good afternoon, Pilgrim. Just sitting here. What else can you do in my head except sit here? Sit here and stare out the window, look at the trees, beautiful sunshine, beautiful blue sky, think about God, read good books, think, meditate, pray. Meditate about what you read in God's Word and other great books, and pray that you think clearly and pray as you ought. Yeah, I do that a lot. I've been reading a book by Ian McPherson, Usable Outlines and Illustrations. Baker Bookhouse, 76. And I was reading some stuff here, and I rewrote it a bit to fit my thinking. Where to keep things? From Hebrews 2:8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Thou hast put all things. Where? In man's hands? Nah. In his pocket? Certainly not. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That's where they belong. In his day, Emerson, he complained that things had got into the saddle and were riding mankind instead of vice versa the way things ought to be. And what would he say if he were around here today? What would he say if he saw the state of things? The modern world's gone mad over all things. Machines, instruments, gadgets, all sorts. Its kingdom might be dubbed thingdom. Ruled by things. For it's dominated by its inventions and its manufactures, the things it's made. They seem to run things. He who makes a machine emancipates me, said Henry Ward Beecher 100 years ago. One wonders whether he'd say the same today. I don't think he would. Think of the fever of getting things. We work so hard to get them. Leo Tolstoy, he told a story about a man to whom a wealthy landowner promised to give him as much ground as he could walk over in one day. So in the morning, the man set off full of vigor, full of energy, and he determined to cover as much land as possible before sundown. A little greedy, what? He tramped all day without a halt. He returned as darkness fell to claim what he'd won. And as he entered the landlord's presence, he dropped dead. All for naught. You might read Ecclesiastes. There's a lot about that there. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, it all comes to nothing. Then another thing, we must think of the folly of hoarding all this junk. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Luke 11:16-20. Yeah, and then we fret, we worry about losing that junk, our stuff, our things. And make up our thingdom. I was walking in the new apartments of Cardinal Mazarin's palace. I recognized the cardinal's approach by the sound of his slippered feet, dragging one after the other like a man debilitated by a mortal sickness. I concealed myself behind a tapestry and heard him say, I must leave all this. He stopped at every step, for he was very feeble. He stopped at every step before some beautiful works of art, a Correggio, a Titian, or a Carracci, and casting his eyes on each object that attracted him, he sighed forth, as from the bottom of his heart, "I must leave all this. What pains I have taken to acquire all these things. Can I leave them without regret? I shall never see them where I am about to go." Ah, oh, sad, ain't it? So sad. When Samuel Johnson was shown the treasures acquired by his friend David Garrick, he remarked, "Ah, Davy, these are the things that make death dreadful." Yeah, we hate to leave them, don't we? But we gotta. It ain't going with us. The real measure of our wealth is how much we should be worth if we lost all our money. If we lost it all. John Henry Jowett. Yeah, I gotta thank Ian McPherson for all this. And I added some thoughts, but what are my thoughts worth? Never sure of my thoughts anymore. So, just some things to think about, some things I was reading. God bless, Pilgrim. Have a blessed afternoon. God bless.